We are the Financial Guys, the place where politics meets money.
With local financial experts, Glenn Wiggle.
This guy clearly looks like a dude.
And Mike Lomas.
The New York Times defending him. They said he was a stroke of genius.
It's the Financial Guys radio program.
As soon as some liberal who's sitting in his underwear eating Pop-Tarts in mom's basement goes, I don't like that show.
And they hired him just because he dressed up like a girl.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back. Financial Guys radio show here on the Financial Guys Media Network. Mike Spiraza, Mike Hayflick in studio today. We are going to spend a lot of time on the State of the Union this week. We'll talk a little bit of Super Tuesday as well. Honestly, not much to talk about there. Donald Trump ran away with that, which we all thought. But the State of the Union is the thing to talk about today. There was a lot of content there, Mike. A lot to get to. We got a lot of clips. Call in and tell us how you felt. 844-434-4TFG. Let us know what you thought about the State of the Union. One of the things mentioned in the State of the Union, Mike, was the economy. So that's going to be our text question today. 716-817-0716. Here's the text question. What are some things that you've given up due to rising costs of goods and inflation? Joe Biden told us that the economy is the best, Mike. It's the best it's ever been. I don't agree with that. We can talk a little bit about the stock market, Mike. You can talk about that. But when you talk about everyday items, grocery stores, gasoline, everything that we need to survive is not at all better than it was 4 years ago.
No. What's happening is prices are rising at a lower pace.
Right. So still rising.
If you put all that together, yeah, it means prices have gone up a lot over the last couple of years, and they're not going down. They're just not going up as fast as they used to be. So people are still struggling. I mean, we talk to so many people every week, and they're all saying, it is outrageous. Like, I literally am spending $200 at the grocery store, and I have like three or four bags with me. And some people actually walk back to the registers to say, did I leave something behind? Because I only have three, four bags here. I spend $200.
And take a look at things. You know, you go out for a salad at a local pizzeria. You get a pizza, Mike, a large pizza. Yep. You go get whatever it is, right? Whatever the hamburger joint you go to. What we used to be able to spend $10 on is now $17 to $20. And again, take out Donald Trump for the Trump haters out there and take out Joe Biden for the Biden haters out mm-hmm. there. Take out the political parties that they're associated with. Are you better today than you were 4 years ago? And unless you're just lying to yourself, the answer is an absolute 100% no. And right. That, by the way, Mike, we're talking as people here that are not poor, but we're not the uber rich. Mm-mm. We're the middle class, what we would call ourselves probably. Mm-hmm. We have to make decisions too at, hey, do we go to this restaurant or should we maybe be careful this week? Or should we go on this trip or do we be careful? Now imagine what the lower class is dealing with, who Joe Biden promised to help, Mike,
mm-hmm.
from the very beginning.
Right. And think of this. It's like a rippling effect. So first start in your own household. Is your household better off than it was under Donald Trump? Is your school in your community better off than it was under Donald Trump? Is your town, is your state, is the country? Are we better off as a country when we think globally? All of those would be absolutely not. And all you have to do is just look and listen and actually acknowledge what's happened. It's been a disaster, an absolute disaster. And God, thank the Lord that we're not, you know, going another 2 years the way we are, Mike. Who knows where it would end up if that was the case?
Yeah, folks, I got to tell you, and we're going to get in the State of the Union now, but I got to tell you, I would not vote for someone like Joe Biden in the next election. We cannot do another 4 years. It's as simple as that. Again, put your political party aside, conservative, Republican, Democrat, liberal, independent, whatever you are. Put all that aside and just think about what's best for our country, what's best for the border, what's best for the world, too, by the way. And I'm not a big, you know, give the world money type of thing, but Donald Trump knew what he was doing when it was on the world stage. What did Donald Trump do? He struck fear in people like Putin. And Keith Olbermann and people like Keith Olbermann can say, oh, Putin owned Donald Trump. I don't think so, because he didn't invade Ukraine when Trump was there. He didn't invade Crimea, Mike, when mm-hmm. Trump was there. He did that under Barack Obama. So, you know, strike fear in the world and have peace through strength. And that's what Donald Trump was, whether you like him or not. Just do your homework and take a look at it. But let's get into the State of the Union, Mike. First off, I'll start, and then I know we got a ton of clips. But Joe Biden couldn't figure it out to make it on time. to his own State of the Union. Didn't leave the White House. I think it was till like 8:50. The speech was supposed to start at 9.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Joe Biden also takes about 15 minutes to walk down the aisle at the State of the Union. So he actually got into the building and into the walkway at around 9:12 or 9:14, I think it was.
Right.
And then we had another 10 minutes of watching him walk around.
Right. And it made me think, you know, this is what you do, like you've always said, when you're doing like your third grade oral speech in front of the class, and, yeah, and you got to just burn off some time.
Yeah.
You know, like it's supposed to be 4 minutes, and you're like, okay, does it start now as I walk into the room? Yeah. If you say enough, like, and then, and, you know, if you do a lot of that, maybe it burns a lot of time. The other interesting thing is House Speaker Johnson said, you know, I was actually supposed to introduce him. Like, he actually missed his cue. You got to listen to this, folks.
Usually, you would introduce the president to the House chamber. That didn't happen tonight. Did that surprise you? Did you expect that?
Listen, I was prepared to do it, but he jumped the gun. He missed his cue. He was about 15 or 20 minutes late upon arrival. I haven't yet heard why that was. He jumped in there and began his speech. I was going to do it formally, but I never got the opportunity, and I didn't want to interrupt the president, be disrespectful. But it wasn't the Speaker of the House that missed his cue. It was the president.
Before going into this fiery and energetic speech, as the left is leading us to believe, you know, kudos to him actually for shouting the entire time, Mike. I mean, that's exhausting.
Yeah.
To get up there and shout the entire speech. But yeah, he he was late. And then he actually missed the cue to actually wait for the House Speaker to say, and now the President of the United States, you know, here you go, Joe.
So to recap, folks, we haven't even gotten to the speech yet. This is the pre-speech, right? We couldn't figure that out.
Right.
And then on top of it, he starts the speech, and of course, his number one item that he had with his speech writers and everything was, America, nope. Inner cities in America, nope. Police officers, law enforcement, America, nope. The border, nope. None of that. The first thing he talked about was, we need to fund Ukraine. And he spent about 5 to 10 minutes on funding Ukraine and going after Putin. So that's what he starts with, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Then he moves into... This one actually shocked me. I knew the Ukraine thing was going to be at top of his list because we just know how that goes. Then, though, Mike, he goes to January 6th and the assault on democracy, right?
You mean July 6th?
July 6th, as he said in his recent interview. Right, right, July 6th.
But it was a 6th at some point in time.
And a month that starts with a J.
Yeah.
This was the second item that he spent numerous minutes on, going after Donald Trump and his supporters about January 6th. For those that don't know, that was in 2021. It is now 2024. Mm-hmm. We have mass chaos in our country and across the globe, and that's what his focus is on in his State of the Union, maybe his final State of the Union, Mike, because this could be the last one he does.
Right.
That's where his focus is. That, to me, and I'm not even going to get into the border yet because we got a full show. The border was about 50 minutes later, 5-0, not 1-5, 5-0 later.
Right.
And Joe Biden couldn't care to talk about that stuff right up front. He had to talk about Ukraine, and he had to talk about January 6th.
Yeah, if you read every other State of the Union address in history, and again, I haven't read them all, but in history, it's typically about, thank you, everyone here. I'm glad we're here to serve the United States of America, its citizens. Let's talk about how wonderful the United States is. We're a global leader. We look ahead. We solve problems. We're here to protect you. You know, all those really good uniting types of statements. No, no, no. As you said, he goes right for Ukraine, right for J6. And he must have said my predecessor how many times, right?
Right.
Didn't want to actually use Donald Trump's name. This is all contrived. We know that there are speechwriters looking at every single word that Joe says. However, Joe is the president of the United States. Joe could veto anything that's in a speech like that. I'll bet he probably had no clue what was going to be in that speech.
No.
And he got through it by shouting through whatever it was. Was it over an hour?
Yeah, it was about an hour and 8 minutes. He did shout. He did mumble some words as per usual.
Mm-hmm.
He did get a little off script that it cost him. We'll get into that later. But, you know, folks, join us on this because we want to hear your thoughts. We can talk all day about the State of the Union, but we want to hear what you think out there. 844-434-4TFG. Text us 716-817-0716. Our text question of today is, what are some of the things you've given up due to the rising costs of goods and inflation? If you need us throughout the week and you think like us, work with us, 833-FIN-GUYS, and download the Financial Guys app today. That has our three podcasts. Mike, you and I do our Cut the Mic segment on Friday. Six topics, 3 minutes or less, and a Friday fun clip that we do every week. That's available Friday on the app. Mike and Glenn's podcast on Wednesday, and some exclusive interviews that I'm doing on Thursdays. Download the app, turn on notifications. You'll get all of that and this live Saturday show right there on the Financial Guys Media app. We will be right back with more on the State of the Union here at the Financial Guys Media Network.
And I think that there are those who are unable to see what can be, but there are many more who are able to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
Letting that sink in for a moment longer. Okay, words of wisdom by our Vice President Kamala Harris. Welcome back. You've got Mike Hayflick and Mike Spirazzo. We're going to hit the phone lines. We have a new wealth manager and a member of Jay Blanchard's team here on the line to talk about his new role here with the Financial Guys. We have Jack Haxton. Hey, Jack, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's great to have you in this office. We see you every day, and I guess it's really important for our listeners to get to know you so they can seek your help. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and tell our listeners where you were prior to joining our TFG team?
Absolutely. I spent a summer at a local firm on the investment research side of things. Mm-hmm. I also went to Lemoyne in Syracuse and got my undergrad in finance, and then I went back and got my MBA in analytics. So, new to the field, mm-hmm. but have some previous experience.
So, a little bit of background on kind of the behind the scenes. I mean, we have an asset management team, an independent team that actually manages money. So, you have a little bit of experience doing that. And now you're kind of on the side of sort of across the table, so to speak, from prospective clients and then clients to just talk about how things that go on in the markets and how, as we always say, how money meets politics, how things happening in government are now affecting people. And so, you know, Mike and Glenn, their vision was to form a team of specialists. Can you tell us, like, what have you and what have has your kind of mentor, Jay Blanchard, what have you guys decided on a niche that you'll focus on to help people like what we do are here every day?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, it's going to be carrying the torch from Jay, and that's going to be the tax planning and tax efficiency side of things. Mm-hmm. So lowering our clients' tax liability, that lifetime tax liability. So the government's getting less from our clients.
I love it. So as we accumulate wealth, I mean, investors often focus so much on accumulation, right? Trying to figure out, well, what are the best mutual funds out there? And what stocks are going to be in my portfolio? So the angle that you guys take, and it's not sort of a marketing pitch, this is a true, real way for people to save more wealth. It's going to be on how do you keep more, not just how do you make more in your portfolio, but how do you keep more and keep more in your own household coffers than you are maybe paying to the IRS and New York State income tax.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
And this is something you can strategize for, right? This isn't just by luck that you can actually kind of, I think in quotes, win on the tax side, right?
And that's where we come in. Absolutely. We take a look at the entire picture, and from there, we're able to deploy a strategy of what's going to be best for that client and how can we be the most efficient going into whatever phase that might be.
I love it. So it's not what you make, it's what you keep. To get help on the investment management side, we have an independent team that manages money. To get help on the financial planning and the tax planning side, call in CJ Blanchard, see his new partner, Jack Haxton, our new wealth manager, colleague, and friend. Jack, thanks again for calling in. We really appreciate it. Folks, to reach Jack, 833-FIN-GUYS. Hey, thanks for doing this on a Saturday.
Thank you.
All right. Jack Haxton, a new member of our team. If you think like us, work with us, 833-FIN-GUYS. Back to the State of the Union, Mike.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Where do we continue, I'll say? A fiery, energetic speech by our president, Joe Biden.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think the yelling at us for an hour and 8 minutes was a bit much. I put this in my notes, Mike, because I say this all the time on Twitter. You know, for a man that ran on unity and transparency, Mike, those were his two words, right? We're going to bring transparency back to the White House. We've seen 3 years that was bogus. And then also the unity part. Numerous times throughout this speech, Joe Biden looked at the Republicans and almost pretty much argued with them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they couldn't really talk back because he's the only one with a microphone. But, you know, you had a couple people like Marjorie Taylor Greene shout at him. We'll get into that clip later. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know what to say other than this man is not a unifier. He's not bringing, he talked about closing the aisle, right, bringing both sides of the aisle together. He didn't do it, and he proves that he's not going to do it. And this was just another example as he's arguing and baiting the Republicans into yelling at him throughout the speech. He did it numerous times. It wasn't once or twice. It was like four or five times. And in his arrogance, he does it too, Mike. Like, oh, what do you think about that, huh? Oh, you right. guys thought that? Or, you know, it's just to me, that's the tone that, you know, he told us he wasn't going to be. That's what the left hated about Donald Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care, and he had a braggadocious attitude. Quite frankly, that's what I love about Donald Trump. But Joe Biden does it. But the problem with Joe Biden is he tries to do it, but he has terrible results. And Trump could do it because he could say, hey, Middle East peace. Hey, gas is down. Hey, we're not dealing with record inflation. Hey, our border is closing itself. We're at the exact opposite right now, Mike.
Yeah.
The exact opposite.
Yeah, if you're going to try and pick a fight, like a verbal fight, right, and you're going to try and fight on facts and evidence that you are better, that you would be better, Joe has nothing to fight over. He has nothing to back his positions with. All he can really do is kind of get in your face, hit you on the chest with his finger and say, what do you think about that, huh? Come on, man. Come on, what do you think? Like, he just baits people into these very kind of senseless arguments. And, yeah, of course, like you said, there was no way for the GOP side to combat that. But that's what Joe does. He thinks he has all this swagger, and all he has is very kind of empty threats. He has no evidence that anything he's done has worked, which brings us to a lot of the deception, Mike, I think, that we heard in this. I mean, he had all sorts of comments about COVID and cancer and vaccines. I mean, he talked a lot, and he actually slurred a lot in the process of this. So we have all sorts of clips that we'll be playing when it comes to his performance, what he said that truly just wasn't true. And how the media then basically backs him. You know, they basically say he's a hero. He was amazing. He's better than we've ever heard.
Yeah, we'll play those clips at the end after we talk about the rest of the State of the Union, because that was – there's a Morning Joe who does his first – this was Tuesday before the State of the Union. He's saying how great Joe Biden is. And then we have some clips from after from Keith Olbermann and a few others. For those keeping at home, by the way, that listen every week, the Trump texter that Mike Lomas and I went after a couple weeks ago that said he's done listening to our show and we only have 20 or so cult members that are listening, he is listening again today, folks. He just texted us again today. The man cannot stay away. Just want to let people know at home that for those keeping score, he is back listening to us again after he said he wasn't going to. So there you go on that. Thank you for listening again, sir. We appreciate it.
He's doing the same thing that those who said, if Trump wins, I'm moving to Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they moved.
Yeah.
I don't think any of them moved to Canada, did they?
Yeah. No, none of them. just like they all said they were going to leave Twitter when Elon Musk bought it.
Yes.
They're all still there.
Yes.
So, sir, keep listening. Stay with us. We got a full show here. We got more Biden clips. I'm sure you'll love those. But, Mike, you know, we have Dave DiPietro coming on next to talk a little bit about crime, migrant issues, and the fake news media coming up here at 1:30. But, you know, again, I feel for every American in our country, us included, right, that we need change. We need leadership. We need somebody who's cognitively there, Mike. And, right. and every time this man gets there, you know, by the way, before the, as he leaves the White House and as he's getting into his motorcade, he tells his family members that are sitting on the White House balcony, don't jump. That was just a microcosm of what we feel in this country right now. It feels like you just got to tell yourself every day, don't jump. Mm-hmm. It'll get better, hopefully. I don't know that it will, though, Mike. It panics me to think we need this election in 2024 to go our way. And again, can we trust our election system? Whether you're a conspiracy, you know, they'll call me a right-wing conspiracy theorist. Can we trust that we're going to have free and fair elections and secure elections in 2024? Yeah. Nothing tells me that we know that for sure.
Can we trust that, like, as we're watching the numbers coming in, that we won't see some kind of an unusual pause?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're going to say, geez, it said 94% reporting. Now it's only saying 76% reporting. Yeah. What's going on here?
By the way, that happened on Super Tuesday again.
Yeah.
That happened again.
Oh, it happens. Yeah. And then it's just sort of like written off as, oh, no. You know, it's just the computer systems are just trying to catch up, right?
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Oh, no, everything's accurate. No. It's great. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest fears that people I talk to have. Yeah. It's like, man, it seems overwhelming that people want Trump back in. Because of the policies, because of the conditions of our country at the time that he was leading.
Yep.
And people are afraid that it just might not work out the way it's supposed to because of those little miscues, mistakes to the polling and to the election counting.
All right, folks, we will be right back with Dave DiPietro. We're going to talk a lot again about mostly New York State, but also what's going on with illegal aliens, what's going on with crime. So stay with us for that. Dave DiPietro coming up next year on the Financial Guys Media Network.
Invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population.
What?
Reduce population. More of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
All righty, welcome back. Financial Guys radio show here on the Financial Guys Media Network. That is our brilliant vice president once again. Only could imagine what her State of the Union would sound like. Hopefully we will never have to hear that. But you never know in this country at this point. So, folks, thanks for being with us today. If you think like us, work with us, 833-FIN-GUYS. Join us, 844-434-4TFG, or text us, 716-817-0716. Our text question of today, what are some of the things you've given up due to the rising costs of goods and inflation? Again, Joe Biden told us the economy in our country is better than it's ever been. Everything is more affordable than it's ever been. Mike, same administration that told us that, turkeys and everything at Thanksgiving were just plummeting in cost for us, and it was just easy to put food on the table. So same administration, don't forget that.
Yeah, and I it makes sense that they'd all say everything's fine because they probably don't buy any of their stuff, right? They don't buy anything at the grocery store. They don't buy their own gasoline. They don't really have to. What they do, though, it seems, is they use a lot of information to enrich themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, like when you go from these jobs in the government to being, you know, eight-figure net worth. Like, they're doing something right, but they're certainly not buying anything at the grocery store.
Trump texter, folks, just texted in again. Still with us here. Can't stand us. Still with us. Trolling on. He thinks he's trolling us, yet he's not because he's just given us the rating. So thank you, sir, again. Stay with us. I just have to let everybody know every time. I'm never going to let this guy go. So every time he texts in every week, I'm just going to let everybody know. And by the way, if you want to call in with your Trump hate, we welcome it here, 844-434-4TFG. So give us a call, sir. We're here. We're here till 3. We're live. We'd love you to call and talk a little bit about Trump. So give us a call. Mike, let's go to some more State of the Union clips. Dave DiPietro, folks, was not available at 1:30. We're going to try and get him back later in the show. So we're going to go now to Joe Biden talking about the COVID vaccine, because this was also talked about before our southern border was. He had some time to talk about the COVID vaccine and his team's COVID response.
Mm-hmm.
And not only does the COVID vaccine cure COVID, Mike, it might cure something else, he tells
us.
Yep. Pandemic, no lives. The vaccine that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer. The pandemic no longer controls our lives.
Let's say it again.
The vaccine that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer.
Folks,
the pandemic no longer controls our lives.
Let that sink in,
folks. The vaccine to save us from COVID.
Let that sink in, would you? So the vaccine that was so heavily touted to combat the COVID virus, and in many cases, a lot of people took the vaccine and maybe were helped by it. Many people were not. Many people didn't need it after all. But the same vaccines that were to help us with COVID, Mike, can now cure cancer. And did you hear anyone on the left even talk about this? Try and dispute it? Bring on any experts? I didn't hear one.
Yeah, no, that's news to me. That's a new one. So we'll see how that works out. He touted his you know, he's been saying this for a while that he's going to cure cancer or find the cure for cancer. I don't know the data on that, Mike. We'll have to see.
It's unreal. It's unreal. He just goes on and says this. And that must have been in the speech because he was clearly still reading. So his speechwriters felt like, hey, let's slip this little gem in there. And then he'll just keep shouting through the rest of his speech. But let's throw that little gem in there. I mean, how miserable is it? Why don't you talk about some of the things that are actually going on? Some of the things. Well, let's talk about that. Well, you can't. Right? Because yep. Everything's falling apart around us.
Yeah.
Like prices high, border open, fentanyl flowing in, people dying, illegals making it into our country and then killing people, killing Americans. I mean, he just cannot possibly attack anything that he's doing for the good of America. He has to say that a vaccine is now being used and it's actually now lined up to cure cancer, folks. I mean, unreal.
Unreal is right, Mike. And this is the problem I have with this speech, too. And I'm not a huge speaker Mike Johnson fan, but I will tell you, his facial expressions were all of us. If you watched the State of the Union, I had my eyes on him quite a bit because I wanted to look at him and Kamala's reactions. Kamala obviously thinks Joe's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but mm-hmm. Mike Johnson, my face was Mike Johnson's face the whole time. Yes. Rolling his eyes, like just thinking to himself, this guy is off his rocker. But the problem right. is, Mike,
yeah.
all they do is lie, and they continuously lie. Right. You know, and we'll get into the border clip in a minute with Lincoln. Well, I'm saying like Joe. Lincoln Riley, Joe calls right. her Lincoln. We'll play that. But, yep. you know, he sat there and he lied to the American public for an hour and 8 minutes straight. And what do his Democrat colleagues do? Just clapping it up, Mike, like he's just saving the world. And it's all lies, every bit of it. And the worst part is, Mike, it's not that hard to see. With social media now, with news at your fingertips, you know that he's full of it.
Mm-hmm.
But he keeps spewing it. And it's sickening.
Yeah, he actually went back to I'd call it like the good old you know pay your fair share, right?
Yeah,
we hear about this. You know, the one percenters, they don't pay enough. Nobody ever pays enough, according to liberals, right? You can never possibly pay enough. If you pay more, they'll want more. I mean, that's their history. I want to play another clip. This just goes back to a very very tired argument that. The issues that we face are that the wealthy are not paying enough.
You want to make or can make a million or millions of bucks, that's great. Just pay your fair share in taxes. A fair tax code is how we invest things to make this country great. Healthcare, education, defense, and so much more. But here's the deal. The last administration enacted a $2 trillion tax cut, overwhelmingly benefit the top 1%.
Yeah. So, Joe, let's talk about you paying your fair share.
Yeah.
Let's talk about where your share first came from before you paid your fair share to the IRS. I mean, this is such a tired old argument. It's just perfect. It's sort of like saying, you know what? We really don't have anything else to argue. Let's just say they're racist.
Yep.
Let's just say they hate anyone immigrating into our country. Let's just say that. Let's call them homophobic. And if we don't know what to do on the economy, all we have to do is go back to you don't pay your fair share.
And let's talk about that for a second. So Joe Biden has been in politics for 50 years, Mike. A lot of them, Nancy Pelosi, many, many years. Hillary Clinton, by the way, used the same argument against Donald Trump. Her pals and donors use the same tax codes that Donald Trump did, by the way. Donald Trump made that known in 2016. But here's the other problem. Everybody thinks because a business generates $1 billion of revenue every year that the business owner makes $1 billion. It's not right. how business works.
Right.
I own a business. I own an insurance agency. every dollar I bring in does not go into my pocket or Mike and Glenn's pocket. We have staff. We have rent. We have utilities. We have payroll taxes. We have 401k plans for our employees. We have a lot of different things. Margins in most businesses are not extraordinary, Mike. They're actually thin. Go ask your local pizzeria owner what he makes in revenue, I'm putting that in air quotes, and what he makes and he takes home to his family. Mm-hmm. It's not what everybody thinks it is. Sports teams, oh, the Bills are worth $4 billion. That doesn't mean Terry Pegula makes $4 billion a year. I hate to break it to you. But this is, again, to your point, Mike, a tired argument. Here's the other problem. Joe, if you want to talk about paying your fair share of taxes, let's look at you, but let's also look at your son. The kid was writing off hookers on his taxes.
Yep.
Think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. He was trying to write off hookers on his taxes. So does that mean that I should go to the local strip club, Mike, and just start using the company card?
Write it off.
Is that what we should do? I mean, really, like, of all people to talk about taxes, Joe, you and your family and your associates like Nancy Pelosi are not the ones to give that lecture. Please. No.
Normal households get hammered as it is. Federal, state, the FICA tax for Medicare, sales tax, real estate taxes, right? I mean, how much of someone's actual pay do they actually keep as it is? And that's all that the government can ever do. Well, bad governments, they can only ask for more, right? We need more. Why? Because they don't spend our money very well. That's the problem, especially with a very, very liberal-minded, progressive government administration like this Biden administration.
And what Donald Trump did, by the way, with tax cuts for corporations and for regulation cuts, Joe, I hate to break it to you again, but the reason you do that for corporations and you incentivize them is because then they bring jobs back here to America. That's the point of helping it and making it business friendly. Take a look at New York State, by the way, who's not very business friendly. You're having major corporations leave here. So not only are you making it difficult to do business in New York, but now you're going after people like Donald Trump because he's a conservative. It's not business friendly, and you're going to lose a lot of revenue in your state for doing that. We need to talk about that again with these tax cuts additions that we're looking at and making corporations pay in more and more out. One of two things has to happen. The corporations are going to charge more for their goods and services, or they're just going to not do business in America anymore, and they're going to offshore everything. It's very simple, and it's really not complicated. It's kind of common sense. Incentivize businesses to do business in New York State, Mike. It's very easy.
Yeah.
Or the United States, I should say.
In the U.S. In New York, some people have called it death by a thousand cuts in New York State, because what you see is company after company after company leaving because of fees and taxes, and you can get surcharge for this, and you can pay a little extra for that. And eventually people say, we've had enough, like enough. There's too much abuse. Mm-hmm. We can't possibly employ people in this environment, and we're certainly not able to run our company here. So what do? They go to very tax-friendly states like Florida and Texas and Tennessee and the Carolinas. And it happens over time. Yeah. And before you know it, there's just no more money coming in, Mike. There's no more money to give away anymore.
Yeah, no. And it's all by design, right? Again, that this is the decisions that are being made by the White House, by our government, Republican and Democrat, by the way. This is not picking on Democrats, because Republican leadership is atrocious. We all know it. We've all said it. We do not have the best interest of you and I out there with what we're doing right now. Donald Trump did. So for those that argue that Donald Trump did, he did care about America. Right. He did care about everyday Americans. He still shows it every day. When he went to the border, he shook every hand of every Border Patrol agent that he saw. He does care about those people. Joe Biden and his team, it's not that important.
Different approach, that's all.
Poor approach.
Well, and on Trump, I know we're going to come up on a break here, mm-hmm. but on Trump, I mean, listening again to Tish James.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you cannot just, be absolutely enraged when you hear her talk and how smug she is. New York City firefighters clearly did not want to listen to her, and they started her with this wonderful chorus of boos. We'll play that clip a little bit later, too.
And a Trump chant, too, which I love.
Yeah, people are upset. Yeah. People are fed up.
Yeah.
People are fed up, just downright fed up. They're tired of it. They're tired of being abused. And then using Donald Trump as basically a scapegoat. Again, just like Joe Biden did during the State of the Union address. Doesn't name him, but he says, well, under my predecessor. And I mean, he, like you said, he's talking about things that happened 3 years ago.
Right.
You can't, you should be talking about what happened that very morning, because right. every day it's a catastrophe under this administration.
John from Rochester, I know you're on hold. Stay with us. We'll get to you after the break. And one thing, too, Mike, I want to say about Donald Trump, too. The judge for the E. Jean Carroll case would not extend the deadline to pay the $83 million. So Trump has to put that up now this week.
Of course.
Of course. By the way, E. Jean Carroll, for those out there who don't know much about her, she was once on the record on live television saying that rape is sexy. I just want that to set in for a second. She said on live TV that rape is sexy. And then also went on live TV with Rachel Maddow and said, what are we going to do with all this money? Let's get you a penthouse. Let's buy boats. Let's buy clothes.
That's right.
This is not a serious person. This is not a women's rights advocate. So just so you know out there, if, for those that don't know who this woman is, she is an absolute lunatic. She's sick. And the judges and the judicial system in America is promoting that type of behavior, which is disgusting. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind when you hear all these things about, oh, Trump's got to pay more money. Okay, if that's what we're going to promote in America and that's what we're going to promote to little girls in America, it's just absolutely sickening. Folks, stay with us here on the Financial Guys Media Network. We'll be right back after a short break.
Economy is booming.
Yeah.
Inflation is down. The stock market is doing well. He doesn't seem to be getting the credit for that. Only 41% approval. Is it because they think he's old? Because I don't see anything else they can point to with him particularly.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
Easy for our ladies at The View to say that everything is going great on their multi-million dollar salaries. You know, but remember, folks, you know, America hates women and women of color, as they tell us every day, as they're making millions of dollars getting publicity every single day of their lives. That is The View. We have some View clips for later. Mike, let's go back to we're going to get to John from Rochester in 1 second, but we're talking State of the Union. Joe Biden lying through his teeth, the Democrat Party standing up and cheering his lying through his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as everyday Americans, again, to our text question, what are you giving up due to rising costs of goods and inflation? 716-817-0716. Call us to join us, 844-434-4TFG. As we both said, Mike, you know, what are we giving up? Thankfully, not too much, but we are making decisions on, hey, should we eat out these mm-hmm. days? Should we take these trips? You know, what should we maybe look to not do as much, let's say?
Mm-hmm.
That is real life for most Americans, unless you're in the you know, uber rich, or you're in the, you know, the top 1%.
Right.
You're making decisions. And sadly, the people that Joe Biden campaigned for, the lower to middle class, he is decimating right now.
Yeah.
I've looked at rent, you know, or apartments and homes and things, Mike, mm-hmm. just in the last few months, just to look at what numbers are, because it's always interesting to me. And I know a lot of people that are sitting there saying, like, I make $60,000-$70,000 a year. I can't afford
right.
to rent an apartment in Buffalo, by the way. It's not like we're talking New York City, like Buffalo. Yeah. They're like, yeah, I don't have it in the budget. I can't to spend $2,000 on an apartment, to spend mm-hmm. the money on utilities, to drive my car insurance, my car payment. It's expensive, Mike. And if you're making $30,000 to $40,000,
right?
My heavens, I don't know what you do.
This was off of Bankrate, and so January of 2021, a $400,000 home, you could get a 3% 30-year fixed mortgage for $1,349 a month, right? $1,349 a month. January of 2024. That same $400,000 home, you need to get a 7.09% 30-year fixed at $2,148. That's $800 more just for the principal and interest of that home. That doesn't include homeowners insurance and taxes that you'll pay on this home. So, I mean, when people say, oh, come on, it's exaggerated, inflation is going down. No, prices haven't gone down.
No.
The rate of inflation is going down, which they want to reach 2%. But that doesn't mean prices have gone down. It's nearly impossible for anybody in the middle class now to own a home unless they're going to live in something much, much smaller, much, much more modest than they planned.
And wages, by the way, as they've told us, they are going up. but they're not keeping up with everything that we have. That's the other problem. So, yes, you went from 40,000 to 44,000. Lovely. That's great.
Right. These liberals that think, oh, just raise the minimum wage. Well, you know what? You raise the minimum wage, and what you're going to do is make companies make really tough decisions. And they're going to say, well, we're going to have to go down then from a staff of 12 down to 8. Because if we have to pay everybody more, we're going to have to reduce the workforce. Or guess what? We're going to automate even further than what we had been doing already. We'll automate because over time we will recover from those costs. But we cannot possibly be paying minimum wage at 20 and 22 and 25. And before you know it, it'll be $50 an hour. Like, that's what the liberals will want.
Somebody in California actually did that, Mike, about a month ago. $50 minimum wage. Not kidding. A Democrat politician in California said that last month.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go to the live line here. We have John from Rochester. John, I know you wanted to comment on the State of the Union. We're talking a lot about that today. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, guys. You know, I kind of fought my way through it because we know the lies that came out of Biden's mouth was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But I got to give him some credit. He looked energetic, if anything. I don't know how they get him that way. It's got to be some kind of B-12 shot or something in the rear end.
Could be. I don't think we'll ever get a look at that. I don't think I want to look at that, actually. But
John, before you continue, John, let me just comment on that, because this was something that was talked about, the low bar that was set for Joe Biden that day, right? So we are at the point now, if he has any energy at all, anybody in the media will say that this man is on top of his game. If he doesn't sound like he's deceased, it's a win for everybody. That is a sad state of affairs for America when we're saying, wow, he did look energetic. And I know where you're coming from, John. I'm just saying that that's where we are right now. If he doesn't sound deceased or like he's from Weekend at Bernie's, he's in good shape. That is horrible.
Mike, you bring up a good point. The media, it goes back to the media. If the media was reported journalism, Biden wouldn't be in office right now. It would have been Trump. There's no doubt about it. And the Republicans would have control of all branches of government, but the media, as you guys know, is corrupt. And we got our local affiliates, Democrat and Chronicle here in Rochester, the Buffalo News in Buffalo, and the NPR stations. But I got to tell you, in a way, I'm kind of glad he looked energetic, because the last thing I wanted him to fall on his face and be replaced right away, because I think Newsom or Michelle Obama could beat Trump. I think keep Biden like Bernie, Weekend at Bernie's. Keep him propped up, and he'll make a fool out of himself eventually before the election. What are your thoughts there?
go ahead, Mike. No, you go first.
I think you're right. I think that, it sounds like Michelle Obama had come out and said, no, I will not be running for president. I don't think she wants any piece of being a president. I think she can enrich herself way, way, way more by not being in the White House again. But I think, John, to your point, yeah, I mean, I'd rather see a kind of a stumbling, bumbling Joe Biden against Donald Trump any day. I just truly hope that the American citizens finally wake up, and those that are very kind of complacent, they've sort of stayed on the sideline. I hope they don't stay on the sideline this time.
I will say, John, to make a point on what you said, I really do feel like even at this point, the Michelle Obama type coming in, or Hillary, 7.0 or whatever, however many times now she's going to be around. I really do, Gavin Newsom, you name him. At this point, I think so many Americans are fed up. When you look at some of the exit polling coming out of these, primaries like Super Tuesday and, the Iowa caucuses, the New Hampshire primary, the South Carolina primary, more people are coming out and saying how frustrated they are and how terrible that these liberal policies are. I think that's a win for us. Yes, do I think it's probably easier to beat Joe Biden than it would be Michelle Obama? Of course I do. And I agree with you, John. Keep him in it as long as you can, because it's getting almost too late to replace him. But I really do feel like the African-American community is starting to speak up. The Hispanic community is starting to speak up. They're the issues that the left's facing right now with the Gaza and mm-hmm. Palestine-Israel situation. They are falling on their flat on their face in all of these things. The border crisis, the Ukraine situation, nothing is going their way right now. And that's a good thing for Donald Trump, and that's a good thing for Republicans across America, because now is the time to trounce on that. And I got to tell you, Donald Trump's focus for the remainder of this campaign are going to have to be, this is what's happening right now. Look at the video. Look at the, you know, the media. Look at everything. And this is what we're going to do to fix it. No more January 6th stuff. No more. Stick to this is what we're seeing, and this is how we fix it. And I think he's a shoo-in, to Mike's point, unless we have a voter issue, which, of course, is very possible. Mm-hmm. John, we'll give you the last word.
Well, I was going to bring up that point, Mike. Voter fraud and irregularities. It's going to be out there again, and we're going to have to fight like hell and vote like hell to overcome that. I think that's a huge impediment, along with the media bias. So I agree with you, Trump. Trump is in danger of losing the election, I think, on the voter fraud alone.
Yeah.
Let alone the media bias. So.
Yeah.
I'm kind of pessimistic on those points, but I'm pulling for him.
Thanks again for calling, John. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your weekend. Folks, we are coming up against a hard break right now. Got to get the break. We'll be right back here on the Financial Guys Media Network.
Died on his watch. How many of those have survived?
Liberals need not apply.
You got the vaccination? Are you okay? I mean, you see, no, it works. Or...
if you voted for Joe Biden, you will not like our show.
If your kid wanted to find out whether or not there's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something, or whether those aliens are here or not.
The Financial Guys, where money meets politics.
All righty, welcome back. Financial Guys radio show here on the Financial Guys Media Network. Whole hour to go here, Mike. We did just get a text in here. I had to find a different toothpaste to use. Before the pandemic, my 3.5-ounce tube of Crest was $6. The last time I was at the grocery store, I saw that my toothpaste had gone up again. It is now $9. For those counting at home, that's a 50% increase for toothpaste. You know, again, that's one item, Mike. I can tell you I used to go food shopping for two people, and it was, you know, $100, $125 a week.
Yep.
And then now it's closer to $200 a week. It's not cheap. And to be honest with you, that's one thing, right? Then you talk about other things, Mike. You brought up home insurance, which I do every day, auto insurance, which I do every day. We are seeing rises in insurance costs. Why? The labor costs more now. We're seeing that claims take longer because they're missing parts, so there's more rental vehicles out there being used with insurance. We're seeing that the cost of everything is going up. If your house burns down, if your car is in an accident, whatever it may be, everything, Mike. And then when gas costs more, the landscapers cost more. When gas costs more, the semi-trucks moving your grocery store items, everything has to go up. It's just it's basic economics. The left can't seem to figure it out, Mike. And I will tell you, though, before we get back to the State of the Union, Super Tuesday and the primary so far in the Republican Party, it's showing what your Republican voters want.
Mm-hmm.
They want Donald Trump back, okay? It's as simple as that. Adam Kinzinger can go out there and tweet about the fact that, oh, but Nikki Haley's getting 30%, Trump's in trouble. No, Adam. Trump's doing just fine. He's dominating in the polls. And by the way, conservatives and independents, by the way, are going to move over too, because no matter what you, if you like Donald Trump or you hate Donald Trump, the results were there. Life was better then. So let's not make this like, 30% of conservatives hate Trump. They don't. There is a percentage, of course. There's a percentage of Democrats that hate Biden. You're always going to have that small percentage. But Republicans are going to back Donald Trump because they know that's what's best for America. Whether they like him or not, it's just how it's going
to
be.
Yeah, and going back to, you know, these rising costs, I mean, inflation has been crippling for many. And what do most people do? Once they run out of cash, they run out of money in their bank accounts, they go to credit. Well, now you've got credit card debt at $1.3 trillion.
Yeah.
Of course, if you read anything off of CNN or MSNBC, you're going to hear that. That's fine. It's okay. Come on. You know, that's just natural. It's normal.
Yep.
That's what you'll hear there, because they're apologists for what goes on under this Biden administration. I think that, you know, it comes back to what we said earlier, Mike. Is your household better off? Are you more successful? Are you safer? Are you feeling like your kids are better in the schools that they attend? And in every respect, most people, if they're honest about it, would say, absolutely not. I am not better off.
Yeah, and it's again, pretty simple. Mike, let's clean up the phone lines before we go
back. It's simple.
It's simple, as Andrew Cuomo once told us. You don't need whatever he said to kill a deer, an assault rifle to kill a deer.
Right, exactly.
Okay, thanks, Andrew. So let's actually clean up the phone lines, Mike. We'll go back. We're going to tease this for after the break. We're going to look at what Joe Biden said about the border and Lincoln Riley, as he called her, the USC football head coach. He got the name wrong. We'll go back to that after this next break, but let's go clean up the phone lines. Let's go first to Brian. Brian, you want to talk about fixing voter fraud? Oh, I had a Joe Biden moment there. Sorry, folks. Fixing voter fraud. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you doing, guys? Yeah, I'm very worried about Trump in this election just because of the fraud. There is one way to solve it, I believe, is to put a serial number on every ballot. And just like every dollar bill, everything has a serial number. And they all go to one machine somewhere centralized in the country. And they get flown there with armed guards. Anybody caught messing with them, you get life in jail. That's it. And you have one machine count them, and there's no scribbling like in kindergarten, filling out blanks and all that stuff. And that way every ballot can be accounted for, correct?
Yeah, and I think you just brought up a two-word phrase that we often talk about on this show, common sense. It would not take a lot with the technology we now have. I mean, it's 2024, for God's sake. We can do this if there's a will to do it, and there just isn't the will to do it, right? That's the problem.
And I'll say this too, Brian. I think there's a lot of things that we need to fix. I think one thing, the easiest thing, is to have people have identification to vote, right? That's kind of important. I think we can do things like make Election Day a nationwide holiday. And if you got to make it 2 days, make it 2 days. Do a Monday and a Tuesday or something. So that way, if people are stuck on Monday, they go Tuesday. Something like that, so people have to go in person to vote. They have to show identification. Yes, to your point, Brian, something that is a better system. By the way, we have states in America that count ballots in hours, not days. So there's states in America that do it that way. There's countries across the globe that can do elections, third world countries that can do elections better than we can. There's a lot of things that we need to fix. And again, it's the will to fix it, though, Brian. That's the problem. We don't have politicians and we don't have people in charge that actually care to fix it. And you look at what's going on now. There are Democrats currently voting in bills that are actually saying, they're saying it out loud now, we want to get illegal immigrants or illegal aliens to be able to vote. That is not how it works. If I go try and vote in, you know, the UK's elections, they're going to say, who the hell are you? Get out of here, right? It's not about, to be honest with you, I'm getting to the point, it's not about the process to make it better, Brian. It's the will to actually fix it. And Republicans included in that because they don't care enough. This should have been issue number one, November 8th of 2020. And now we're just hearing people say again, we really need to fix the voting issues in America. Well, the election in 7 months or 8 months, so good luck with that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
I don't know, guys. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. You know, the other thing is a lot of these politicians, they really, really care about fair elections when they're not in office yet.
Right.
Once they're in office, it's fine. It'll work out as long as they're sitting in those seats still, as long as they're going to be set up for their federal pensions. Right. As long as they can get the millions and, you know, tens of millions of dollars from donors to stay in that seat, they don't talk about fair elections anymore. They just don't.
And again, these are common sense issues you look at. Let's look at that. Let's look at the stock trading issue, right? We talk about this on the show all the time. If you're a government employee and you have, you know, knowledge of things that everyday Americans don't, Nancy Pelosi Financial Services, right? That to me is something that I don't care who you are, you should agree that no, a government employee, especially people like a Nancy Pelosi or a Joe Biden or whoever, that have info that we'll never have. If they're making stock trades and making tens of millions, it's not $100,000, right, Mike? It's not like, ooh, my portfolio went up 10%.
Right.
This is big time money. Look at Nancy Pelosi's net worth. That should be an issue that we all sit down and say, no, the idea of politics is not to go enrich yourself.
That's
to make your country better. But yet we have people in office for five, six decades that all they do is print money to themselves. That is not right.
That's exactly right. And these things should not happen. They, when they're not in office, they say these things are horrible. We should prevent these things from happening, from politicians knowing what's going on in corporations and in markets and then enriching themselves from it. And they get in, and then suddenly it's not an issue. It's no big deal. I know that we're coming up on a break, Mike, but we have to get back to some of the some of the misspeaking that our President Joe Biden does, and then some of the reaction from the left. It's just absolutely, it would be hilarious to me, but it's just, it's actually corrupt now that you listen to it. It's actual corruption by them talking about Joe Biden as like the best he's ever been. Like when you hear Joe Scarborough, we got to play some of this. If you hear, you know, think about this. If some millions of people are listening to that stuff, and then they're going to the election, you know, the booths, mailing in, whatever. It's no wonder they start to think like, oh, no, everything's fine. Yep. Listen to Joe and Mika over on MSNBC. Yeah. It's all fine. Joe was at his best. Yep. Holy cow. Like, are they ever I mean, you got to really wonder, like, what are they getting for being such cheerleaders of Joe Biden?
And by the way, this is because he wasn't tired during his speech, nonetheless. Not right. about the content of the speech, but because he sounded energetic, he's getting a gold star from everybody in the media and everybody on the left. It's just wild.
Yeah.
Right after the break, though, Mike, we got to get to Charlie Spraz to talk about an upcoming seminar, and then we will go to Kevin from Pendleton. When we get to 2:30, we will come back with the Lake and Riley, the Lake and Riley comments from Joe Biden. We have Robert De Niro coming up, too, and his comments from Bill Maher last night. That was interesting. we will talk about that. And you guessed it. It's about Trump with Robert De Niro because the man just cannot keep Trump out of his mouth.
Nope.
So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back here on the Financial Guys Media Network.
You all should need to know that America is not sending their best and brightest, you know, to Washington, D.C.
2 minutes later.
My message to the CEOs is, at $74 million, you know, collectively earning that, you know, how many yachts can they need, you know, to ski behind it?
All righty, welcome back to the Financial Guys Radio Show here on the Financial Guys Media Network. Mike Spraza, Mike Hayflick in studio today. Folks, if you think like us, work with us. 833-FIN-GUYS. We are a one-stop financial shop. Financial planning, wealth management, Social Security planning with Mike Hayflick and his team, home and auto insurance with my team, Medicare if you're turning 65, call the financial guys. What am I missing, Mike? College planning.
Oh, my. We do it all, folks. Yeah, we do. And if we don't do it, we have some pretty nice partnerships, some, you know, I guess, trusted partners that we'd work with or we could refer you to. So many of the things that we do, though, are complimentary consultations. So you definitely should take us up on it. You know, don't take basically what you have been doing for granted as if, oh, it's as good as I can do. Like, it might not be. I mean, the planning that you do, especially when it comes in what I do in retirement income planning, it's a far different ball game, you know, from accumulation of your wealth to actually using it in your retirement years. All you have to do is look back to some of the really big crises we've gone through, 2022, 2020, 2008, 2000. It is not an easy road to just think that the markets will cooperate with you upon retirement. You really got to come up with a plan. So if you want to, you know, see what we do here, folks, 833-FIN-GUYS.
And one thing we do here is we do some seminars. We have one coming up here March 20th, 6:15 p.m., Charlie Spraza, Anthony Zeffler, here at the Financial Guys headquarters in Williamsville, New York. To join that seminar, financialguys.com/events. Register early. It is already almost booked. To promote that seminar, though, we have Charlie Spraza on the live line. My father, actually. So, Dad, tell us a little bit about that seminar.
It's going to be exciting because there's some new stuff that hasn't been out there. It was buried in the 2.0 correction of making everybody feel warm and fuzzy that, you know, you can extend out your R&Ds. We're going to show you how to extend them out till age 85 without a penalty.
That's pretty cool.
Not all of it.
Yeah, they like 70 and a half used to be the age, Charlie. And to your point, they think that they're doing everyone a favor by pushing that age outward. But we all know, all of us in this business, that that's just essentially making the tax time bomb perhaps an even bigger and bigger explosion later on. So you and Anthony are going to talk about ways to not maybe avoid RMDs, but maybe how to best handle them.
Yes, and what to do with it. And Well, a lot of people don't even take the RMD. They don't want the RMD. Not that they don't take it, but they don't want it. Mm-hmm. And they take it out of deferred and put it into taxable events. So we'll show you some strategies how to increase the size of your wealth if you're not using it on a tax-free basis. There might be an opportunity for some. We'll show you how to extend it out a little further. And the big penalty is children. Then when they get it, they must mm-hmm. have it emptied out by the end of the 10th year. So that creates a tax burden for them as well. These are all the things we'll talk about, different solutions. And everybody's going to be different. But I encourage you, for those that are listening, sign up now. It's the 20th of March, 6:15, right there at the Williamsville Arena.
I love it. Our flagship office at 305 Spindrift.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Charlie.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. Yeah, so RMDs, if you didn't know what those mean, required minimum distributions. And those are the actual distributions that the government makes you take on tax-deferred accounts, which are often the kind that many people have accumulated in their 401k plans or 403bs, the deferred comp plans in New York State, or thrift savings plan type money that federal employees have access to accumulating. So all of that, Charlie Spiraz, Anthony Zeffler, March 20th, 6:15 p.m., the events tab off of thefinancialguys.com website.
And Mike, I'll say too, I'll let you expand this a little bit, but you mentioned a little bit before, even if you think you're in a good position, it's a complimentary consultation, a lot of these things, just to make sure of that. I mean, the worst thing that happens is, and you do this all the time, like I do it with my team all the time, hey, you're in a good spot, stay where you are. We are the first people to say that. We are not high-pressure salespeople here at the Financial Guys. We will tell you, hey, you're looking great, or hey, maybe you could tweak this, or maybe you need a real overhaul on everything that's going on.
Right. Confirm that you're in really great shape. I mean, we don't want you to just be okay. We want you to be really, really great, and great in many respects. If we can make the most of every dollar that you make in income, but then also make the most of everything you've accumulated in wealth, that's a win. That's winning bigly, as Donald Trump would say, right?
Yep.
You might be good, but let's see if we can make you better. Let's see if we can get you to kind of a status where you're not anxious, you're not stressed about where your dollars are going.
So, Mike, let's stick with the phone lines, and we're going to get back to the Lake and Riley situation and the border crisis during President Biden's State of the Union. I will say I have a tweet here lined up, too, as well. Mm-hmm. A Democrat senator talking about that, the unfortunate nature, and I'll save it at that because she says something's unfortunate, but you won't believe what it is. Let's go to the phone lines. Kevin from Pendleton joining us. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, gentlemen, Mike Squared. I am the Republic, and I'm fine. I am the Republic, and I don't have hairy legs. Anyway, I came across a saying here. If you are better off today than you were 4 years ago, then you must be an illegal alien, right? So chew on that, man. Yeah. Hey, John from Rochester, my brother out there in Rochester, brought up some very, very valid points in the sense that he's concerned about a cheating. And I could add to that the cheating will not only come from the Democrats, but also from the Republicrats in the highest levels in the party who are involved in the electoral process. Don't fool yourselves with that. Guys, remember New York Citizens Audit, when the New York State Board of Elections sent out a letter telling all the tongue boards and everyone to ignore them and so on? Well, guess who it was signed by? Both commissioners of the Democrat and Republican parties. Okay, so yeah, I'm a little concerned, as Judge had brought up. And as far as Black America, you guys were talking about earlier, yeah, I just want to give a shout out to my, African American brothers and sisters out there. Guess what, guys? You know what? Now that you have opened up your eyes, and maybe it might be too late, hopefully not, but you now realize that after we've been freed from the bondage and the shackles out in the fields, we've been taken into the big house now, right? So you've been taken into the big house known as the DNC Democratic Party. And when you thought that, yeah, you were really treated equally, guess what? You've served your purpose And now Brown is the new king in town. Mm. In other words, from the southern border and elsewhere. That's the reality to it. So just want to let you guys know that. And by the way, getting back to my point about New York Citizens Audit and Project Civica, another spit-off group from those great people who find the fraudulent stuff going on with our voter rolls and the electoral process and so on. Letitia James did a cease and desist against leaders of those two groups and so on, right? Did any of you hear any of the Republican establishment leadership here come into the defense of those people? Maybe with the exception, and he's not in the leadership, of Dave DiPietro and maybe Senator Borrell stood up for them. Guys, 2024 for sure. You see how we clean house at the national level? The civil war is on. We're going to clean house right here in New York State as far as our own party is concerned, and then we'll take on the corrupt elements of the Democratic Party and the progressive movement. Take my word for it. The civil war is on right now within the party, and that's a healthy thing. Have a great day, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Kevin. Yeah, love his optimism.
One thing I'll say, too, is for all those listening out there, don't hold your breath. The Republican Party will come to the aid of anybody. They've proven time and time again they will not. Hopefully this new leadership changes things around. Trump's daughter-in-law, one of the people on that new leadership. But I wouldn't hold your breath right now because there's a lot of Republicans in Congress that, just to be blunt, don't really care because they're enriching themselves. Kevin mentioned, you know, illegal aliens being the people that are making more money now than they did 4 years ago. Politicians are too, so don't forget that on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, and if you hear Joy Reid and Jen Psaki, there's no problem at the border.
No, we're fine.
In fact, there's a worse problem between Virginia and West Virginia as they cackle their way through and laugh. And, you know, there's no problem at the border. What a joke.
We're going to go to a quick break, and we are going to come back and talk about that border because Joe Biden did address that in the State of the Union. Folks, stay with us. 30 minutes to go here on the Financial Guys radio show here on the Financial Guys Media Network.
And now it's time for Deep Thoughts with Kamala Harris.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you.
You're listening to the Financial Guys Radio Show.
All righty, welcome back. Financial Guys Radio Show. Mike Spiraza, Mike Haflick in studio today. Mike, let's go right to our fearless leader, Joe Biden, talking about the border here. He initially gets into an argument with the Republican members of Congress, just, you know, baiting them into saying something. Marjorie Taylor Greene does, and good for her. Because this is not an issue that we can just, you know, laugh off or say, oh, there's senile Joe again. This is a big issue in America. We have a University of Georgia student, I believe it was, get just brutally murdered by someone here illegally. By the way, the person that's here illegally, the left doesn't want you to say the word illegal anymore, Mike.
Right.
That's really unfair to them. And I'm going to just read this this tweet here.
Okay.
Give me 1 second. Where are we here?
Newcomer, I know, is another word they wanted us to use.
Yeah, yeah, newcomer to America. Yeah.
You're new to the summer camp or something. Hello, newcomer.
Yeah, new to the neighborhood.
Come on, go play bingo before we take you over to the lake for some swimming.
This is Democrat Senator LaFonza Butler says, it's unfortunate that Biden called the illegal immigrant who killed Lake and Riley an illegal. My question is I don't really care what word you use. Use newcomer if you want. Whatever word you want to use, can we make this about Lake and Riley being savagely murdered?
Right.
That would be a good start, right? So what Joe Biden does is, and you can play the clip now, Mike, we can comment. What Joe Biden does is he starts talking about this with essentially with Marjorie Taylor Greene in the middle of a State of the Union, but he gets her name wrong. He calls her the USC football head coach, Lincoln Riley, and I'll let you play the clip, go ahead, Mike. Technical difficulties.
There we go.
There we are. Oh.
Lincoln Riley. An innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals?
So I just want to stop it there.
That point?
Joe Biden's argument is that's one person killed by an illegal, but there's thousands killed by legal U.S. citizens every year. That's not the point, Joe. It's not the point. The point is that somebody living in our country, a citizen of our country, was savagely murdered by someone that shouldn't be here. Why? Because you've opened the border to 15 million plus people that shouldn't be here.
Because she's out on a jog.
Right.
I mean, she's out on a jog in the college town she lives in and killed. He's so, I don't know how out of touch can you possibly be to not acknowledge that with a little bit more compassion and accuracy.
Yeah.
I mean, that just shows you he was so glued to the teleprompter that one moment where he thinks, oh, I'll show them. I have a pin. I have the button. I'm going to hold it up. Mispronounces her name.
Yeah.
And then tries to say, oh, well, come on. It's one murder. How many legal citizens murder every day? Like, that is just outrageously disgusting to me.
By the way, had the name wrong, and he had the button with her name on it right in front of his
right
face.
In his face.
Yeah, can't make it up.
Lincoln.
And the fake news media, by the way, and I'll say it that way, the fake news media comes to his aid to say, or not comes to his aid, actually goes after Joe Biden, I should say, because he called the person illegal. I mean, I mean, so, and I had this argument on Twitter yesterday. So what if they're not here legally? They are here illegally. Use whatever term you want. They're here illegally. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Dave DiPietro that's kind enough to join us here. Dave, speaking of the fake news media, I know you're fighting them every day out there.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm just lit. I had a press conference this morning with Senator Ort and Congressman Claudia Tinney downtown about that exact issue. Okay? And we in Lakin Riley would be alive today if it wasn't for the Democrats in New York State. And I want everyone to understand that, because they're the ones that pass these stupid laws to allow this guy who has a record a mile long, to be released in New York State. He was arrested in New York State, and they let him go. And they did not call ICE, because those are the laws in New York City. You're not allowed to call ICE. You're not allowed to tell the immigration authorities that you have this person who has a record, who's been arrested. And they let him go.
Dave, can I ask this?
Would be alive today, if New York State, but New York State Democrats, they're the ones that are responsible for her death. End of story. There's not even a debate on that.
Dave, can I ask a stupid question? Let me ask a stupid question, though. Why is every Republican not as pissed off as you are about this? Because that I see press conferences at times, Dave. I see people tweet out some stuff at times. But where is the action on? I mean, it makes me sick. If that was a family member of mine, my daughter, my friend, whatever it is, this story when it came out made me sick before I even knew the New York State issue. But why is every member of Congress not at the front door of the White House saying enough is enough?
Because half of them are just—they're just shills up there. We were talking about Claudia today. She has to work with some of these people. Some of them are elected, right in the ones in New York State. They sit on their hands. They like their job. They don't. They're not advocates. They're not passionate. They don't care about this stuff. You name the reason. So the only one that covered this story was Channel 4. Okay, there was nobody in the place where we did it. Channel 4. And you know what the first question they said when we were done with when the three of us spoke? The gentleman from Channel 4, he says, don't you think you're gaslighting this whole thing, this whole issue for women because of this? And now Claudia, again, and here Claudia and Rob Ort, Senator Ort, did a great job at having to re-explain all the issues in New York State, all the new bail reforms, and all the new laws that put this guy back out on the street instead of having him deported. And I got up there as the third speaker, and you know what? And I'm different. I called the guy out. I said, "What kind of a question is that? That question totally defines this country, left and right. Okay, only a liberal would think that when a girl dies and could have been saved because of leftist crap policies, that you would say it's gaslighting. Okay, and since when do you care about women now? Okay,
but Dave, what are you care about women? What are you gaslighting, though? I don't understand. What could you possibly be gaslighting? It's not this isn't a women's right issue. This is a murder issue by an illegal alien.
But that's how they changed the narrative. And that's where I called him out. I called the guy at Channel 4 out. The other two did a great job defending it. But I said, I shouldn't have to be up here defending that. That's a stupid question. You try to put us on the defensive. And I mean, I called the guy out. I said it was horrible. Like I just told you. I'm not answering that question because it's a horrible question. When I'm not going to sit and defend myself for defending a dead woman who shouldn't have been dead and would not be dead if it wasn't for Democrats in New York State and leftists in New York City for those policies, for those new laws that they put in that state so that you can't even tell this guy. Tell ICE. It's crazy. It's crazy. And I wish more people were passionate. Sorry, guys. I get a little excited about this one because...
No, you should be.
This crosses party lines. This has nothing to do with Democrat, Republican, man or woman. This has to do with stupid laws that put New York citizens at risk, put their lives at risk, and now someone's dead because of this stupid law. And it goes beyond that. There's so many people have been maimed and stabbed and shot over this, and they refuse to do anything about it. No one's guilty in their mind. And the fact that, I mean, what's the disconnect? It was an illegal alien, and they don't want you to call it illegal? That tells you everything you need to know.
Right. Dave, good for you for standing up for this. And I mean, this is the state of our country, of our own state of New York. There are no more journalists. I mean, these are people just parroting what these people in office say. These are just people that want to be in their favor. They want to be invited to the next press conferences. They want to be invited to those cocktail parties. You know, this gaslighting that's going on, it's so typical. They'll say, don't believe your very own eyes and ears. What's right in front of you, don't believe those stories. It's exaggeration. It's not what you think it is. It isn't real. This is exactly what they're doing. And are they at all, like, I mean, they have no more integrity, a lot of these people in the press.
No, and we talked about this today, the fact that we have a law, okay, we have a bill, to change this law, just to change it. It should be bipartisan. And I can tell you this. Now, Hochul has come out and said she supports this. She says, you know, this is a travesty. It needs to be fixed. I'm telling you, I don't think it's going to. I don't think the New York City people, the leftists, the communists down there that run the show in New York State and have all the other Democrats around the state scared so that they go along with them, I don't think they're going to change it. I'd be shocked. I hope they do. I mean, it's the right thing to do. It's bipartisan. It's the right thing to do to change this so that you can at least, you know, when you've got someone who's got a record a mile long and you arrest them for a crime in New York City, that you should at least notify the immigration authorities. So this should happen. We're going to really see if Hochul stands on her 2 feet or if they just plow her under like they always do.
And worse, Dave, is like we've seen this story before, you know, with legal U.S. citizens that they just let out, you know, for violent crimes because, you know, we can't charge bail to these folks. We've seen this story before in a different way. It's not going to change. It's never going to change because they don't want it to change. And what makes me sick about it is at some point, right, they're actually telling us in the media right now, oh, well, crime by illegal immigrants is lower than crime by American citizens. I don't care. One death, one murder is too many. And we're seeing it. There's rapes in our country. There's people that. How about all the fentanyl overdoses, right? Those are deaths. Those are murders. If it's me, I've said this for years, Dave, you want to deal fentanyl, be my guest. When we get you, you get the death penalty and it's over. You want to fix that problem? That's the way to do it. Take out the dealers and close the border. They don't want to do any of that. They don't care enough to do any of that. It's way easier to just let these people in and hopefully get them on the voter rolls and change this country forever. That to me, if that doesn't make you go vote Donald Trump in November, I don't know what will, Dave. I really don't.
You're 100% correct. It's happening all over the country now. New York State's a sanctuary state. Look what happened in Cheektowaga, the girl that got raped, the girl that got slashed in New York State, right? Okay, so because an illegal alien slashed this girl, now she's going to have a big scar on her face for the rest of her life, and that's the price she has to pay for your policy, okay, because no one's guilty and everyone should be let in, and we're not going to prosecute any of these crimes from these people. I mean, these are real-life stories happening that they don't want to deal with, but it puts everyone at risk. Look, the fact is, security in New York State is at an all-time low. I don't care what they say. You've got the National Guard now, the state National Guard, in the subway system in New York City, checking bags and monitoring and putting people through security. Mm-hmm. What's the National Guard doing in our subway system? This is ridiculous.
Worse, Dave, is Mayor Adams tweets out, crime is on the decline in New York City.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's you brought in the National Guard. Don't give me stats about crime right now. You brought it in for a reason.
It's so typical.
Crime is down in New York City because they're not arresting people. They're not prosecuting it.
Yeah, that's true.
The numbers are down because they're letting them all out. That's why. Not that crime is way up in New York City. Assaults and that are way up in New York City. Again, it's how they process the numbers, and they lie to you, and that's, okay, the professional liars, most of them, so I don't trust any of that stuff.
No, she doesn't admit to crime, but what she does say is, quote, when you have that high level of anxiety, now you're dealing with the psychological toll that deters people from wanting to go on the subway. Do you think, Governor, thinking that I might get pushed in front of an incoming train, you think that might bring me some anxiety? Yeah, you're actually right.
I don't want to die going to work. Yeah, that
unreal.
Doesn't sound good.
Unreal.
Dave, thanks so much for joining us. I love the fire. Love the fire.
I just wanted to tell you, I got a high level of anxiety because she's the governor.
We all do.
Yeah.
Believe me. Thanks for always fighting for us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. God bless Dave. I'm one thing we don't have to do though, Mike, is listen to her in a government building. So good for us on that. Poor Dave's got to deal with it. Folks, we have one segment left. We're going to give you some Robert De Niro on the way back and some Joe Scarborough on the way back. You do not want to miss their comments on this. Call us one segment left. Like I said, where is the phone number, Mike? 844-434-4TFG. Text us 716-817-0716. We'll be right back with Robert De Niro and Morning Joe Scarborough.
What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and the refusal has cost all of us.
And the lie detector test determined that was a lie.
Welcome back. Final segment here on the Financial Guys Radio Show. Mike Spirazza, Mike Hayflick in studio today. We're going to finish up with some Joe Biden and response to Joe Biden's horrendous yelling of the State of the Union. Honestly, Mike, it's like a state of a disaster because that's where we are right now. And it's sad to see America in the place it's in. Hopefully we have an election year here, though, a general election year coming up.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, 8 months now? Yeah, a little less than
240 days.
240 days.
That's what it is, 240 days. I looked it up. And, yeah, Mike, I mean, he's the most unpopular sitting president, I think, ever, especially in the year of another primary election.
Worse than Jimmy Carter. Worse than Jimmy
Carter. And
that's
hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really hard to do.
Absolutely.
And President Carter, of course, was followed by the great Ronald Reagan. So let's hope that we do get another term of Donald J. Trump. This, Mike, I have to play. This was actually part of what the left thinks was just such a stellar, fiery speech, energetic. If you can even understand what he's saying here, I give you so much credit. Listen to this.
Culture knows more about this than anybody I know. We're better able to stay in the family for those farms and their children and grandchildren.
Play in the beginning again.
Because I invested in family farms led by my Secretary of Agriculture, knows more about this than anybody I know. We're better able to stay in the family for those farms and their children and grandchildren. Won't have to leave home to make a living. It's transformative.
People say,
any idea?
People say he's always had this stutter and mumble. I mean, I've seen a lot of Joe Biden videos from 20, 30 years ago, Mike. And even when he campaigned for Barack Obama or with Barack Obama, Joe Biden, he said a lot of dumb things, don't get me wrong, but he didn't mess up every single time he took a microphone in the face. And right now, he can't get through one mic, whether it's 3 minutes or whether it's 3 hours. He can't go without a gaffe or some kind of blah, 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 that nobody understands. That's the leader of the free world. Now, imagine like President Xi sitting with him or Putin, who the left tells us that Putin is scared to death of Joe Biden. I doubt that significantly because we see what Vladimir Putin's doing. Now let's look at, though, Mike, before we go to Robert De Niro, let's look at, this was Joe Scarborough. Is that the one you have clipped?
Well, I want to play one more. This was actually after the State of the Union the very next day. And this is Joe Biden yet again.
Pennsylvania, I have a message for you. Send me to Congress so I can support this right. I promise you, we take back Congress.
So he wants to get voted back into Congress.
Yeah.
Hello.
Joe, you're the president now. You're not Congress.
You're the president. Yeah. Hang on, there's more.
We will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land. And we added more to the national debt than any president in his term in all of history.
We've added more to the national debt. Okay.
Maybe that was the truth we were waiting for.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds right.
He certainly has. Yep. He certainly has. He's put us all in quite the predicament now.
Well, let's go, Mike, now to Joe. This was Joe Scarborough, by the way, before the State of the Union. On what was that? Tuesday, I believe he says this. And this is about a minute long of Joe Scarborough just absolutely drooling over what he thinks is the greatest version of Joe Biden he's ever seen.
Right.
For years now. But I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been intellectually, analytically, because he's been around for 50 years. And, you know, I don't know if people know this or not. Biden used to be a hothead. Sometimes that Irishman would get in front of the reasoning. Sometimes he would say things he didn't want to say. This is, and I don't really, you know what, I don't really care. Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50.
I mean, I don't know how these people, Mike, actually go on live television and say that with a
straight
face.
I have no idea. How could you, you know, even if you were trying to be honest, you could say, geez, in his prime, let's say maybe when he was in his 60s, 60 to 65, he was bright. Yep. You know, you may not have agreed with him, but boy, he could be articulate. He could come across with energy and a swagger and passionate. Maybe you could then say he is at his best. But honestly, how could you do that when he goes up and mumbles? He speaks mistruths. He can't read off of a button and give the victim of a violent crime the due that she is allowed by saying her name right? I mean, honestly, how could these people, how could they keep their jobs?
I mean, this is like going to the nursing home to visit your grandpa or grandma and saying, this is the best version of Grandpa Jim I've ever seen.
The
guy yelling profanities at all the staff, this is his best version.
Right, his shirt stains on the front. He doesn't remember me.
Yep.
But no, this is the best version by far. I mean, if you could bottle this grandpa up, this would be the one we wanted forever.
He would have made a best self-made billionaire back in the day if he just had this charisma at 85 years old. I mean, you really, and again, we're trying to be funny, but we're not, because it's, you can't go on live television and say that with a straight face.
Right.
Again, I'm not, look, you might love Joe Biden, you might hate Joe Biden. If you hear Joe Biden 20 years ago, he sounds a lot more analytical, in air quotes. And what was the other word he used? Analytical and...
well, he kept saying cogent.
Cogent,
he's cogent, as Joe says.
Yeah, yeah.
The last thing, we have to play this before. I used to actually like Robert De Niro.
Great movies.
In some of the actors, the movies he's been in.
Yeah.
But here he is with Bill Maher. And again, I just can't believe that you can fall onto the same line of thinking, but if you do, I don't know. God bless you.
In him. And we have to, and whoever the people are who want to vote for him, and there look like intelligent people around there, somebody, for some reason, it can't be. It cannot be. If he wins the election, you won't be on the show anymore. He'll come looking for me. There'll be things that happen that none of us can imagine. That's what happens in that kind of a dictatorship, which is what he says. Let's believe him. Take him at his word.
I did from the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, I said from the very beginning, this guy is never going to concede power. And he still hasn't.
No.
He still hasn't.
Okay. So let's start from there.
Still hasn't, Mike. Conceded power.
Bill, the argument that you're making, Hillary Clinton hasn't either. Stacey Abrams hasn't either, if that's how you feel, because they were both lost in election, so complain about it.
That's right.
But here's the problem, Robert. First off, and Bill. First off, he lost an election in 2020, and he conceded power because he's not the president anymore. Okay, so he's no longer the president, so he did. Second off, Robert De Niro, don't give yourself too much credit, buddy. If Donald Trump was ever going to go after people, you would be low on his list. You're a 82-year-old actor that nobody cares about anymore, so settle down on that. And really, Mike, this been the last 30 seconds here. This man, Donald Trump, is a man fighting for an election, and he's doing all the right things and fighting for an election. If he loses, he's not going to go take over the White House. He already left the White House once. And you want to talk about a dictatorship? How about the one we have now that you're literally taking the former president and trying to jail him for 750 years? Yeah. That sounds like a dictatorship to me.
This shows you how badly they are afflicted by Trump derangement syndrome. Those two, right? Those two. Terrible affliction.
It has infected more people than COVID ever did. I'm telling you right now. Folks, thanks for joining us today. If you need us throughout the week and you think like us, 833-FIN-GUYS. Download the Financial Guys app today. Turn on notifications. Our three podcasts, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and the Saturday live show right there. It was a pleasure doing it again today. Thanks to Mike and Glenn for letting us host, and we will see you next Saturday.